Blog Talk Radio.
Best-selling and award-winning author of true crime and crime fiction, Yvonne Mason is back with a brand new book, The Pink Canary, a book that delves into the life of a drag queen and a marvelous whodunit. You can find this and all of Yvonne's other works on Amazon.com or find Yvonne Mason on Facebook and Twitter.
You're gonna kill me.
Buy your copy of Pink Canary now.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday night, and if it's Wednesday night, it's Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and that was an ad for my book, Pink Canary, and it was done by my friend Chris Dunham, who is an excellent ad man. Yeah, it is shameless promotion. It is a comedy murder mystery, and it has to do with a drag queen club in Key West, Florida, and a drag queen at night who's a PI during the day, and there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on in that book. So pick that book up. Now, we are into our second year here on this show, and I have to say that my guest tonight is author Tom Fertrell, also known as T.G. Ripper, and he's been with me for a long, long time. We've been friends for going on 10 years, I think, because we both got sucked in by a former publisher who screwed us and other people, and we've kept tight all these years and supported each other. And this show has flown by so fast within the last year that I don't know where it went. This morning when I ran the numbers, just on this show alone, ladies and gentlemen, we're at 33,196 listeners just on this show. When you add that into all the podcasts that I put this show up on, we are at 48,073 listeners. We are heard in over 70 countries. And what I find amazing is this show is not my show. Yes, I'm the facilitator, but this show belongs to every listener and every guest that I have had, will have, and hope to have on this show. It is also for the listeners. It's y'all's show as well, because y'all are the ones that tune into the live show, then tune into the podcast later on. And I thank y'all for that, because without y'all, I could sit here and talk all night and wouldn't be heard. And my guests could sit here and talk all night and wouldn't be heard. So I appreciate your constant support. And those of you who follow me on Facebook have seen what I've been putting up tonight. And believe it or not, yes, several people have unfriended me. Well, it's like I told my guests before we went live, you know, that's on them, because they have no idea how much fun I am and they don't know what they're going to miss. So adios, arrivederci, hasta luego, bonsoir. In other words, goodbye. Because if you cannot allow someone to state their opinion and agree to disagree because you have to unfriend them because you're so pissed off at their opinion, then I don't need them on that page anyway. So those of you who continue to support me, merci. Thank you. Gracias. I appreciate you. Because I will allow you to voice your opinion, even though I would disagree with it. So with that being said, my friend tonight, author Tom Fertrell, is here. He is an award-winning, best-selling indie author and a screenwriter. He's also a clothing designer on Vita, as I am. He is also an artist. He studied martial arts for the last 40 years. He's been inducted into the Martial Arts Masters Hall of Fame. He lives in the country with his wife, his two daughters, and he says way too many cats, but I don't see him offering to get rid of any of his fur babies. So I don't guess there are too many cats. And let me tell y'all, ladies and gentlemen, I've been with this man as a friend for many, many years. And he has put out some new stuff, didn't bother to tell anybody, just sort of threw it out there. I guess by osmosis, we were supposed to know it. And what I told him was... See, you're in trouble. What I told him was what we do is not our brand, that we are the brand. And if we don't put ourselves out there, how the hell are we going to brand ourselves? I mean, it's like hiding in a closet and saying, oh, come read my book. You got to have a damn flashlight. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
It's wonderful.
I just don't like to brag, you know.
Humble is one thing, stupid is another. Good Lord, man. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the same man that will talk to you all day long about his martial arts, but he will not talk to you about what a fantastic writer he is. He's in several of my, in fact, he's in all of my anthologies. He's in Blessings from the Darkness, Satan's Holiday, Welcome to Your Nightmare, the Christmas one, I can't remember.
I can't think of it either, but yeah, I'm in that too.
Yeah, so, but the man won't brag on himself. He is a wonderful horror author, but he won't, he puts these books out there and says, oh, by the way, of course, it's 2 years ago we put the books out, but oh, by the way, geez, okay, let's beat up Tom Knight.
Oh, man. I had it coming.
Yes, you did. You should have known better. But I love you. I really love you.
I love you, too.
So, catch me up on what... Oh, on top of that, ladies and gentlemen, he writes for a blog called Darkness with Enzyme. Didn't even know that either. Yeah, we're going to discuss all this. But I had to go hunting. Like, he was a first-time author. I had to go hunting all of his crap up because he didn't bother to tell me.
My bad.
Yeah, you think? Okay. So let's start. You and I got together with Deborah Simpson, Ann Keller, Louise DeVinny, Andrea Dean Vanskoyek.
Yep.
Who else was in that?
Sister.
The Dark Sister. Yep, our Dark Sister. Our evil twin.
Yep.
Triplet. Our evil triplet. Can't think of her name. Just went Orenstein, Fran Orenstein.
Fran, yep. Yep.
There were a couple of more. And what happened, ladies and gentlemen, is we were all with this one publisher, and he was over in Sarasota. And he decided that we were idiots. Well, when he decided that we were idiots and he made off with all of our royalties and my PA, and neither one of them bothered to tell us that they were going to parts unknown with all of our money, we told ourselves, this will not break us. This will only make us stronger. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we all started publishing at the same time back in 2006, 7, and 8.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than destroying us, Vern Firestone, yes, I'm going to say his name, did us the biggest favor because we as independent authors broke that glass ceiling and took the world by storm and made our own way, supported each other. When Tom would tell us he was writing, supported each other, helped each other, commiserated with each other. And look where we are now. We have all grown exponentially. Deborah has her own spirit shop. I have my own radio show, my own designer clothing line. I still write. Tom writes. Been inducted to the Martial Arts Hall of Fame. Does his own clothing design on Vita. He's also an artist. Andy Keller has put out 26 books. Yeah, it just blows my mind. Fran is battling cancer, but she's still writing and putting out children's books. Andrea is putting out music. She's not writing anymore, but she's putting out music now. Louise, I'm not sure what Louise is doing. But ladies and gentlemen, we all just, and we still support each other. No matter what path one of us is taking, we all have that bond and that commonality of we all got screwed and we didn't let it bother us. We just said, okay, we got this. Am I right, Tom?
That's right. Exactly.
We
kept moving forward.
Yeah. Because if you don't, you get stagnant and die like some of these idiots we're dealing with in Charlottesville. Yeah, I went there.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah, it's coming. It's there. But,
yeah.
Okay. So you have been busy, busy, busy. For a while, you thought, and of course, I kicked you figuratively in the butt, you thought you were not going to be able to train anymore because you got hurt or something. So tell our listeners what happened and how every time you'd fall down into that rabbit hole, there was Yvonne in the bottom with a big hat pin going, "Want to try it again?"
Yeah, I hurt my back at work, like second, third time I injured it. But this time they were looking at fracture. The doctor told me no more training, no more martial arts, no more this, no more that. And, you know, when you've done that since you were like a little kid, and it's always been your life, and all of a sudden you can't do it anymore, it gets it. I mean, it's like you stop and you look back, you're like, okay, yeah, I did do a lot with my martial arts, but I'm not ready to stop. And now I'm being forced to. So I got really bitter. I went to that really dark place for a while. And you just kind of kicked me in the butt and pulled me back out of it.
I do that periodically, ladies and gentlemen. I live in a negative world, and I refuse to allow those around me to live in a negative world. And I have a long reach, even though Tom is north of me, like 1,300 miles.
Yeah, I'm a little ways away.
Yeah. I can still ring his bell just to get his attention.
Yes, you can.
Okay, so then what happened?
I started doing, like, they didn't really give me physical therapy. They're supposed to, but something happened. I'm not sure what, where it never happened. So I started doing it myself. Like, braced my back against the wall. I'd start, like, lifting light weights and just doing things just to make it work again. And I kind of brought myself back. I mean, I can do almost everything that I was doing before I got hurt. I got to be more careful with my kicking now. And for some reason, my elbow at some point was injured during the thing as well. And it still gives me fits sometimes, but it's getting there. But yeah, it's kind of crazy that, you know, I went from "you'll never do it again" to back to business as usual. Well, close to business as usual. There are still a few of the kicks, some of the twisting and stuff I can't do anymore. So I've been learning how to do the kick without like the wide arcs and everything, just kind of cutting back on that and keeping my back a little better supportive. And so far, so good.
Well, you know what my mantra is. I've said this more than once. If you can't go over a mountain, you go through it. If you can't go through it, you go around it. And if you can't do any of the above, you blow the damn thing up.
Yep, I'm pretty much going, I haven't blown it up yet, but I'll say I definitely went around it. I just kind of had to retrain myself. I had to, like, relearn the techniques, but learn them in a way where my body could do it still.
And
yeah, so far, so good.
Would it be fair to say, Tom, that in life, the only thing that is constant is change and retraining? Because in every phase of our life, we have to retrain to do something. I'm 66 years old. I can't do martial arts at all anymore. And that really pisses me off because I take very good care of myself and I know how to fight off an assailant, and I'm not afraid to fight off an assailant, but I can't practice anymore because my back is totally gone. Now my left shoulder is totally gone and I really don't feel like winding up in the hospital. But I have learned, along with my martial arts training, that I have other avenues of protecting myself from an assailant, whether it's a frontal assault, a side assault, or a back assault. Main thing is remain calm.
Yes.
So just because I can't do Brazilian jiu-jitsu anymore, it doesn't mean that I can't take somebody down. As my sensei told me years ago, he said, "Yvonne, you're 4'11". There's no way in hell that you're going to be able to take down a 200-pound man. That's why you have a ball bat."
Oh, I could just see you with a ball bat.
I have a 3-foot wooden billy stick.
Nice.
And I'm not afraid.
You're not in Charlottesville.
Exactly. Oh, some of those youngins that get a lesson in life like they ain't never learned. Talking about attitude adjustments. I can adjust their attitude.
You'd be taking them to church, that's for sure.
And preaching them a sermon and baptizing them all in the same day.
Yep.
But you think about it. My husband is 100% disabled. There is no way if someone were to try to attack him that he could defend himself. Even in a scooter, he could not defend himself unless he ran over him, which he might do that if they pissed him off enough. But and he's a former police officer. He's a retired police officer, so he knew how to take care of himself. Of course, S&W, you know, the two friends, S&W, that didn't hurt matters any. But there does come a time where we have to readjust our mental attitude and readjust how we protect ourselves.
Hey, that's very true.
So the next time the doctor says, Tom, you can't do that anymore, we're going to blow up the mountain.
Yes, right.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's off the chain and we talk about anything because we can. I believe that in every show we do that people learn things. And that brings me to learning about Tom. Now, I knew that he did the things for Vita.com under Tom Futrell. He's got some beautiful, beautiful things, scarves, shirts, and whatever. I knew he did artwork. Now, you were going to be somewhere around where you live at a con, right? A comic book con?
Yeah, yeah, Mega XT.
Tell the folks about it.
It's a comic book convention. If everything goes well and all falls into place, I'll be drawing at one this year. Hopefully everything will fall together like it should. It was great. I went last year just as a fan because I'm a major comic book geek. And go to my Facebook page and you check the MegaCon pictures and you'll see me like in a fighting stance posing against Batman. I got with the cosplayers and we had a blast. We just did all sorts of fun stuff. I hung out with some of the horror people that was there. Got pictures of that on there as well. I don't know. It was just, you know, my kind of people. They're having fun and doing their thing. And it was a blast. I'm hoping that I can be part of that this year.
Well, there should be no reason why you couldn't, would there?
I'm going to be collaborating with another artist. He had to check with, he's like a big time artist. And the fact that he contacted me and asked me about sharing a table with him pretty much gave me a cardiac arrest. You know, I'm trying not to sound like a fangirl or anything, but I'm like, okay. But I'm just waiting. I asked them, you know, because they're going to try to get a table. And I'm just waiting for them to hear back to see if it happened. He didn't know what his schedule was. He's going to have his agent check into it, get back to him, and he's going to get back to me. But that would be the only roadblock. I mean, that would be it. And if it doesn't happen this year, I'll just, you know, I hope it happens because this guy is amazing. He's like one of my favorite artists. But if it doesn't happen this year, I'm just going to set my own table up next year. So, I mean, either way, I'm gonna make it to the con. Either this year, either as an artist or as a goofy dude with a camera again like I was last year, or I'll be there, you know, like hopefully as an artist with this other artist and just, you know, taking it down and banging out some drawings for people.
It's going to happen. This is in your future. It is your turn, and it will happen. It is happening. This is the way you got to think, Tom. You got to go into this with the same mindset as you go in with your martial arts. You're going to make that connection to somebody's nose with your foot. This is happening. It's time. Because, ladies and gentlemen, Tom loves his artwork as much as he loves writing, and he waffles back and forth. Well, I'm neglecting writing to do artwork, or I'm neglecting artwork to do writing, there's a balance there, and he will find it, or I will kill him. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You like the way I just slid that in? You like the way I just slid that in there, right?
That was beautiful. He's going to find it, or he will die.
No, he will die. I mean, I have flying monkeys everywhere. I don't even have to leave my home. I have connections. And Tom knows it.
It's a tough monkey, too, boy.
Yeah, they are. I'm going to send a few of those to Charlottesville.
Oh, boy.
And all points in between, I think. And they're going to pay a visit to the governor in Kentucky.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah. I think that it's time for the monkeys to fly. Now, ladies and gentlemen, y'all may laugh, but Tom will tell you. He has firsthand knowledge. I don't have to leave home. All I have to do is put things out there and things happen. And I don't want anything physically to happen to anybody. I just want them to get an attitude adjustment and have a come to Jesus meeting and learn the error of their ways. Yeah, the monkeys need to fly. You know, my children have told you they hate it when I send the monkeys out. They don't like it because they know. And when my children were misbehaving right after I moved to Florida, and they would call me up and I'd say, "Why did you do A, B, C, or D?" And they'd say, "How did you know?" Duh, I'm your mother.
The monkeys.
How long have you known me? I'm 650 miles away, but I got to reach this 1,200 miles? Really? So, and ladies and gentlemen, Tom can't even hide. He can run, but he can't hide. That's why I say he'll find a balance.
Yeah. Yes, you're going to beat the balance into me.
Absolutely. Martial arts will have nothing on me. And that brings me to this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful darkness within Zion. Please tell me how you got involved, when you got involved, why you didn't tell anybody. I know you're a humble man. I'm sick of that one. That dog doesn't hunt anymore. Dog's tired of hunting. And why you've not, I mean, he's written some wonderful articles, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this. The Henderson Castle, the house that would not die, where you hang your axe is your home, and a beacon of light. All right, let's start with the Henderson Castle. That is a real castle, correct?
It is.
Tell me about it.
Let me think. Henderson. I've written so many. I think the newest one, that won't be out the next month, so I probably shouldn't talk about the new one. The Henderson Castle, again, it's reported to be haunted. It's a bed and breakfast now. People have seen some crazy stuff, heard some crazy stuff. The crazy thing is they keep the place operating just like a normal thing. You go to their website, and it looks awesome. They got like a chef working there and all this really good stuff. You know, you go there, you get a room, and you'll wake up and not be alone. It's pretty crazy.
Well, why is it supposed to be haunted?
Oh, man. Let me think of the history. That's why I've written so many. Henderson. Was it Mr. Henderson that died in the place? Was it the daughter? I don't want to tell you the wrong history. But a member died there, and I know some other crazy bad stuff happened. And like, if I remember right, if I'm remembering the right one, there's like a girl that can be seen, which I think was a relative. I hope I'm not thinking about the one I just submitted to him.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You know, the one, I don't want to give any details because it's not going to come out the next month. But the one I just finished for them is about a bridge. And Ireland or Scotland or somewhere in that area. And the people will take their dogs for walks and the dogs will commit suicide. Out of nowhere, they'll just leap off this bridge. No whining, no barking, no agitation at all. They'll just jump off the bridge.
And they don't know why?
Insane. They have no idea what's causing it. And it was, it's a bridge that's connected to a house, and both are reported to be haunted. The name is called Overton or something. I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but it stands for the closest between heaven and earth. That's what the name of the bridge means, but it's also the person's name that built it. And, people like they'll just be walking their dog, and all of a sudden the dog just jump off the bridge. It's crazy.
What about the Henderson Castle? It's the ghost of the home's original owners, Frank and Mary Henderson, as well as those of a Spanish-American war veteran, a little girl, and a dog. They interact regularly with paranormal teams and guests alike.
Okay, so I do remember the little girl part. That's it, man. I write so many of those. I spent a lot of time researching and checking out, getting photos, the whole thing. A couple of the places that I've written about, I actually went to myself. And, it's like right in the article where I talk about, okay, this house here and this and that happened. But,
In the house, a look inside the house that would not die. This is in China.
Yes.
It's in Beijing.
Yeah, Beijing. Yep.
And it has lain abandoned for over 50 years because it's inhabited by the dead.
Yeah, it's got some crazy photos. I'm not sure which ones I submitted, but.
Legend goes that following the communist victory against the nationalists in 1949, a high-ranking government official fled his mansion home for a safe haven in Taiwan, leaving behind his wife, or possibly mistress, just like a man, to fend for herself. In desperation, the woman hung herself from the rafters of their home. Her ghost has haunted the house since that fateful day.
Mm-hmm.
But that people claim to hear wailing screams.
Yeah, they hear people crying, calling for help.
Disappearances. Dang. Now, I really like the one where you hang your axe is your home.
Now, was that an article? Because I know I submitted some short stories to them, too. I think that one was another article, though.
While many haunted houses trace their legends back to grisly murders which took place within their walls, the Basilica Axe Murder House is more unique in that the killings themselves took place under unexplained circumstances.
Okay,
on the
yep.
night of June 10th, 1912, eight people, the Moore family and two guests, were bludgeoned to death with an axe. To this day, the perpetrator's never been found, and the primary suspect was tried and eventually released based on lack of evidence, but has since been connected to several similar murders in following other states following the Moore deaths. Now the house is a museum, and it made news
yep.
again when recreational paranormal investigator Robert Lawson Jr. stabbed himself while on tour. Okay.
Yeah. You know the old saying, the devil made me do it?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Go ahead. You can do it. Kill yourself.
Get behind me, Satan. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A pan
uh-huh.
of bloody water was. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
A pan of bloody water was found on the kitchen table, as well as a plate of uneaten food. The bodies of Lena and Ina Stillinger were found in the downstairs bedroom off the parlor. Ina was sleeping
mm-hmm.
closest to the wall with Lena on her right. A gray coat covered her face sideways, not clear over, but just a little. She'd been stuck in the head. Okay. Y'all just have to go finish reading this, ladies and gentlemen, because we're moving on to a beacon of light.
Okay.
Indian Bay. And Whitehall, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right up north from
That this one is not so much spooky as it is interesting. The captain died in his bed the day before he was supposed to leave the White House for the new owners. You know, there's nothing like overstaying your welcome.
Yeah, it's true.
If he didn't want to retire, he should have just said, "I'm not leaving." He didn't have to go and die in his bed before the new people came in. I mean, really?
They're like, "Yeah, I'm good. You guys go ahead."
Yeah, don't mind me. I'm just dying in my bed. Oh, my word.
Yeah.
He could have just stayed there. They wouldn't have cared.
Nah, you know, cheap rent.
And the Hellfire Club, what the hell is that?
Oh, the Hellfire Club. Oh, yeah. That's a crazy place.
Let's see. What would be the house? The worst haunting, this place would be in the top 10 of your list. So much negative energy in one ear is bound to make things happen. I once ended my book, Night Songs, with the line, "Death leaves a bit of herself as she walks through the room." In this case, death left quite a bit. Welcome to Dublin's notorious Hellfire Club. One of the most terrifying places on earth. Perched high on a mountaintop overlooking the city of Dublin. That's in Ireland, folks. The Hellfire Club is a place of evil, of terror, and of death. Built in the 18th century on the site of a sacred Stone Age tomb. Well, hell, no wonder. I'd be pissed off, too. The Hellfire Club...
Oh, they desecrated.
Yeah, the Hellfire Club was constructed in a spirit of blasphemy and sacrilege. The young bucks who built it said it was a hunting lodge, and its real purpose was to worship the devil. So it was cursed from the very beginning. There you go again with those aristocratic people. The aristocratic members of the Hellfire Club used this place as a headquarters for their wild debauchery. These rich young men like nothing better than sex and drinking, and not necessarily in that order, and I just added that. Oh, and they like murder, too.
Yeah. If you think of Hostel Underground, and that's pretty much what the club was.
Well, I hope that they got in trouble for because that was supposed to be a place of reverence. Shame on them.
Yeah, big time.
Shame, 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 shame. Invisible hands might pull your necklace off. Could they be in the hands of a poor young dwarf brutally murdered and buried under the kitchen? Okay. And then they have this wonderful dreaded black cat of Killikey, a huge and malevolent elemental spirit. I need to go there. I could do that. I could go visit there. Now, how did you get involved with this lovely blog that I didn't know anything about?
Jody is a writer friend I know, and she said that she was putting this out, this magazine, Darkness Within, and asked if I wanted to be part of it. I was like, yeah, sure. And I asked her, what do you want? Do you want articles? Do you want stories? She says, yeah. So sometimes I get articles. Sometimes I'll write a short story and send it to them. So far, I've had nothing rejected. So I'm, they're liking what they're reading so far. And on a side note to the zine, they also accept artwork. And I have a friend of mine who's a really good artist. She's really good. And she wasn't really, you're going to slap me. She wasn't really getting her work out there. And so I kind of got her to submit to them. And so now she's got art coming out in the magazine. Not that I was trying to make her brag or anything, but I kind of told her, you need to get some stuff out there so people will see it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Physician, heal thyself.
Exactly.
Oh, my word.
This is
what I put up with on a regular basis from this man, ladies and gentlemen. He does not understand yet that we are the brand, not what we produce. We are the brand. And if we don't brag on ourselves, for lack of a better word, at this late day, then nobody else will. It's like having an advocate when you are sick and you go to the doctor and you're too sick to give a shit what the doctor says, and he's giving you all the stuff that you don't need, and somebody stands up and says, "Hold the phone there, Jack. We got these other issues too." And the doctor goes, "Oh, didn't know." Really? So
yeah.
Didn't know about the darkness within. I go,
you know, they put out a book too, and I got some work in that too. Came out
Really?
Yeah, earlier this year or last year. It's a really cool cover on it.
And what's the name of this book?
Oh, they just called it Darkness Within. They just titled it after the easing.
And it's on Amazon and Barnes and Noble and all the normal channels?
Should be, yeah, I think it is.
You don't know? You have a story in this book and you know nothing about this book. Oh, God help us.
You know, I just
We are back to square one.
I was just checking Amazon earlier and I just found out that I have a 5-star review for one of my books and it's almost sold out. I was like, wow.
Do tell. Enlighten us. Oh, unwise one.
Yeah, my bad.
Inquiring minds want to know, what is the name of said book with one said 5-star review?
Night Songs of the Reaper.
Explain it to us, Lucy. You got some explaining to do.
It was one of my first, I think it was my second book that I ever written. It's a combination of short horror fiction, poetry, and I put some like writing prompts at the end of it so that other people, you know, like who want to give it a try, gives them, you know, something to work from. And it's been selling really well, apparently.
And you didn't even know, did you?
I didn't until today. Yeah, I got some work to do, I guess.
You think? Now, what is this Many Paths to Peace?
Oh, that was a book I wrote a year or two ago. What I did is I went to all these different martial arts organizations and people, and basically I had them tell me like what their art was about and stuff. And what I did is like I'd start the chapter with a scenario where a guy was about to fight. Like he was about to throw down with whatever opponent he had. I mean, I had like Greco-Roman wrestling. I had other types of wrestling, kickboxing, just different styles. And then at the end of the chapter, like I explained everything that they learned, what the history of the style and everything. Then at the end of the chapter, I'd have the end result of the fight. And they would use the techniques that they were explaining throughout the chapter. And that way that the person reading the book could say, oh, okay, that's what this does. So they got the history of the style and what they could do in the style. And then they got like a scenario of somebody using it in an actual altercation.
Which would be an excellent book, especially for women.
Oh,
even
yeah.
If they couldn't get out to do martial arts physically, we are what we read, eat, and drink. And something would kick in if they read it with concentration and with an open mind. They would understand that by definition, and I know, ladies, y'all are going to get so mad at me for saying this, but it is what it is. By definition, we are the weaker sex, and we have to find ways to protect ourselves to compensate for that, because if we're not built like a 175-pound man, because if we were, that would be kind of rough-looking.
Yeah.
The visuals just went through my – yeah. So we can't be built like Bubba and expect to be who we are. And once women accept the fact that we are women, end of story, we are women, we are the weaker sex, but we still can be deadly if we have to be, and not by name calling and doing all the stupid stuff, pulling hair and kicking, that doesn't work in a real fight.
This is true.
You got to be prepared to do some serious damage, and you can do serious damage in about 4 moves.
Yeah, you got to get over quick.
Yes. You hit them,
okay,
they hit the ground. You hit them, they hit the ground, you tie them up, you call 911. End of story.
I'm doing that transit thing now, getting ready to close the building up.
That's all right.
If you hear anything in the background, yeah, it's just awesome.
Yeah, that's Tom. That's Tom going through squeaky doors and walking to his vehicle. Now,
that's me.
The storyteller, what is that one about?
Oh, that was actually, the storyteller was a NaNoWriMo winner. I wrote a story that I wrote, like one that this was like the sequel to a story, and basically what it is it was this being who could, he could tell a story, but he would put the person he's talking to into the story. So, like, if he was talking about somebody being chased by a devil or something, and that person would be chased by one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like a story within a story. You know, it just kept going. And then the next person, you know, like this whole idea was he would charge you so much money, and if you told your story and it didn't scare you, you get your money back. But if he did scare you, he scared you to death.
So the person actually became the story.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the first one, and then I wrote a sequel to it like the following year, and the following year. It was no longer a person telling a story. It was like his soul was out in the woods doing it. And he was, same thing. He would go up to a camper, start telling them a story, and they would be put into the story.
You have one twisted mind, my friend.
That's what my writing professor told me.
But that's not a bad thing to have. My mind is totally twisted, and I enjoy my mind very much.
Oh, heck yeah.
I'm probably the only one that understands it. Some days I have trouble with it. Then you wrote Tommy for Trello PI.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That was, I was writing a short stories. They're like a madness series. And basically it was just this guy. He was part of the mob. Like his dad was like a Don. And, so he would work for the mafia. He was a private investigator, but he worked for the mafia. And basically, when the mafia would kill somebody, and they would come back like as a pissed off ghost, this dude had to go and he had to solve it. And you know, get the ghosts to go on their merry way. So the guy's group wasn't being attacked by ghosts anymore.
And there's nothing worse than a pissed off ghost.
Oh, I hear you. I wouldn't want to piss him off.
Yeah, I'm afraid there's going to be a few pissed off ghosts in Charlottesville.
Oh, well, yeah, quite a few.
See, I just threw that right in there. I'm so clever.
Love it.
And I'm sure there's a few pissed off ghosts at Gettysburg. I've been to Gettysburg, and if you have never been to Gettysburg, you feel their presence. They are real.
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh, just, they weigh you down with the sadness. So I'm sure there's some pretty pissed off ghosts at Gettysburg.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and Andersonville.
Now.
Yeah, and Andersonville, yeah. And Chattanooga, and Chickasaw, and... Yeah. So, yeah, they just don't know. They'll be sending the PI to make those ghosts go on their merry way.
Yeah.
Tales from the Castle. No, they ain't going. They're going to rise again.
Mm-hmm.
Tales from the Castle.
Oh, Castle Reaper?
Yeah.
That's just a collection of some short stories. I wasn't sending anything out at the time. They were just sitting there on my in a file, And so I was like, yeah, let's go ahead and make this into a little collection. And so I just sent it out, and that's what I ended up with.
And they're horror stories.
Oh, yeah. Sure, horror fiction. Yep.
How many is in the book?
Usually I have at least 20. So there's a couple of them that are less than that. But I'd say probably around 20 in that particular one.
The Dark Streets of... Of what?
Oh, The Dark Streets of Jackson. It's probably hard to read the cover. Yeah, it's... Basically, I've haunted the town I live in for that one.
You haunted the town?
Yeah, it's by the town I live in. I use, like, all actual places. And, like, there's cannibals living out in the country. And, you know, ghosts hanging out at the bar. And, you know, cool stuff.
Interesting. So
yeah,
you just took your town and changed it around a bit. And who's to say they really don't live? But who's to say they really don't live there, Tom?
This is true. This is true. Got a lot of old buildings here. This is a historic town, so you never know.
See?
Oh, that's probably walking quite a few of these streets in its history. Probably a lot of haunted places.
And people tickle me when they tell me that they think that we're all crazy, because I believe that they walk among us. I've seen them. I've felt them. They've spoken to me. And they don't scare me, because they can't hurt me. If I were afraid of them, I would hurt myself and blame it on them, because I'm too stupid to understand they can't hurt me. They, you know, might throw books off the bookcase or toss stuff in the floor, but they are not malevolent. Most of them are here for a reason, and they don't understand they need to go on. And let's go back to Gettysburg. The men that died on that battlefield... And what people, if they haven't studied the War of Northern Aggression, they will not understand what I'm talking about. It was brother against brother, nephew against uncle, father against son, cousin against cousin, wife against husband, daughter against brother. And it was a mess. And by the time they all got to Gettysburg, they were worn out. It was a no-win situation for either side. And they lost so many men because of politicians. It was unnecessary. And I firmly believe that these souls are still crying out for restitution.
Yeah, I believe that.
So, ladies and gentlemen, yes, I believe that they walk among us. I've seen it. I've felt it. And I've heard it. So when Tom says he lives in a historical town, I guarantee you got ghosts in a bar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we got some old places here.
Yeah, when it just, you just need stuff. You just need to do a paranormal investigation. Paying the Reaper.
Yeah.
What was that?
Which one?
Paying the Reaper. Paying the Reaper.
Oh, pay. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was about a story about a guy who wanted his wife killed, but you don't know that right away. And basically, these two, like towards the end of the story, these two people arrive at the guy's house, and you know, and he's like, he's trying to run to get away from him. He's acting like he's running from him, and they stop him at the door, and he's like, "Did you guys kill my wife?" And they go, "Oh, yes, sir, we did." And, like, so did she suffer? He goes, "Oh, we made sure she suffered a lot." And, but he's like, "Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, you guys coming out for poker?" You know, I mean, that's like the twist of the story. Yeah. He was like, "Oh, finally God killed that woman." You know, and the whole time you're thinking, you know, this guy's heartbroken. These people done killed his wife. Now they're at his house. You know, they're bragging about how much they made him suffer and stuff. And then, you know, and then it just totally turns on its wheel, and you know, like, "Oh, yeah, we'll be out for poker. Yeah, sure."
Only in your twisted mind, my friend. Only in your twisted mind.
I told you. That's how I got my nickname. My writer professor, he named me T.G. Reaper and told me my mind was twisted.
But yet, we must not brag on ourselves because we don't write with a flip. Tongue in cheek.
Yeah, I gotta work on that whole bragging thing. I really do.
As Yoda says, do or do not, there is no try.
Yeah, I gotta start listening to Yoda.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to send one of the monkeys up to your house and make them sit on your shoulder and put that in your ear 24/7.
Ah, man, back with the monkeys. Uh-oh.
Yeah, back with the monkeys.
Trouble.
Yes, you are. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he's not in too much trouble because I haven't called him by his full name yet. When he's really trouble, it's when I call him by his full name.
So I'm still safe for now.
But it could change on a dime. You know, you never know with me. You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
So, my darling friend, you have all these wonderful books out. You have this wonderful website out. You have all this wonderful stuff out. Tell the people, because believe it or not, our hour is almost up. Tell the people where you can be. Yeah. Tell the people where you can be found.
Okay. On Facebook, I got TG Reaper, and I got a Tom Futrell, which is for my art page. I'll just click on there, like it, and or send me a friend request if you guys want to talk about writing and stuff. I also have a page called Voices of the Reaper, which is just about my writing. You can always click on like for that, and again, I try to keep everything posted on there. I am on Twitter now, finally. It's at TG Reaper. Just friend me on there. That's cool. I have a website. I don't know how far along it is.
It's not far along at all.
I don't think there's anything on it yet. I'm trying to talk my daughter into helping me because I suck at computers.
Tell her she's way behind the eight ball here. Because I went there and went, I went there. I said, what has he done? Nothing. What am I going to do with him? Plenty.
Yeah, it's just an empty website right now.
Yeah. sort of like you bragging on yourself. Let's not put too much information out there, as in none.
That's about it, too.
ladies and gentlemen, I can do this with him because he understands me. He knows that I love him with all of my heart. He is one of the most special friends in my life. Please understand that what I say to Tom and he says back, that it's all done in jest because we have that kind of fun relationship and there's no harm meant to him at all because he is a very special human being. He's been with me through some of my darkest times, and I don't know if I ever told you that, but I appreciate you so much for being there during those dark times.
Oh, anytime.
You got to come to sunny Florida. You and the wife have got
to
come down here and visit. Yeah, yeah. As Yoda says, do or do not, there's no try. There's no need.
Right.
You either do it or... Yeah. Yeah.
I got family down there in St. Petersburg. Are you in that area?
No, that's on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. But you could go to the West Coast, see family, and then hop over 3 hours to the East Coast to see me.
Oh, okay.
See, it takes less time to go across the coast than it does up and down. It takes 3 to 4 hours to go across, where it takes 8 to 9 to go up and down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. My
Absolutely.
Becky went down, and my daughter went down last year, but she didn't – I think she only went to Orlando, though. Just went with a friend.
It's only an hour and a half north of me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, she
See?
Went down. Pretty sure it was last year she went with her friend down there, and they spent about a week in Orlando then since they came back.
Oh, it's time for you and the wife to come pay us a visit.
Yeah, we
you think
need to do that.
Yeah, you think you're laughing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been looking over my shoulder for that monkey, though.
between my husband and myself, you'll be laughing. And see, we have all the amenities that you get up when you want to, you eat when you want to, you go swimming when you want to. We've got the pool. We've got the beach 10 minutes away. You got Orlando an hour and a half away. You got Fort Lauderdale an hour away. You got all kinds of stuff up down the coast to do that's within 20 minutes of the house.
Fantastic. Wow, good location.
Yeah, absolutely. This is paradise.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, I love it. I wonder why I didn't do this sooner. But, ladies and gentlemen, we are slowly and fastly, whichever way you want to run it, are running out of time. And so I am going to be off the air until next Wednesday because I am going out of town for the weekend. But go and find Tom and make friends with him and listen to his and my back and forth all the time. And just know that this man is one fantastic author and artist. He doesn't think he is, but he really is. I'm almost envious of him being able to draw because he can bring things to life. And he's worked hard to say he's an artist, and he is an artist. He's very successful, even though he won't admit it. And yes, you're coming back after the first of the year, so we'll set that up.
Absolutely.
See, because we have fun on the air. Now, y'all know that there's several... Yes, we do. There's several things that I say at the end of the show, and I think that in light of what has happened in my country, and I know that we are heard in over 70 countries, and ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are in Canada and Australia and South Africa and England and Germany and Russia and all the countries that listen to this show, I know that y'all have seen what has been going on, and I am very ashamed of those people that have tried to desecrate the history of this country. And regardless of whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, it is our history. It happened. It's like your past. You can't change it. But if you don't learn from it, you definitely will repeat it. And in some instances, it's being repeated because the narrow-mindedness of people is just unreal. The intolerance, the inability to understand history for what it is. I'm very ashamed of those people. I love my country. I love being Southern, and I love being a woman. I love the way that men treat me with a difference and respect. So all the other baloney that you hear, ignore it, because I got it going on. And as I say... Exactly. As I say at the end of every show, don't just feel special, be special, because if you just feel special, you'll never be special. And I got a new one the other night, and it says, difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. Those words are so true now with what is going on in my country.
Yes.
Listen to it again. The difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. So think about that. I'm going to put that up on my Facebook page. If you want to achieve greatness, ladies and gentlemen, stop asking permission. I've quit asking permission a long time ago. I just do it. People either accept it or they don't. Your smile is your logo, your personality is your business card, and how you leave others feeling after having had an experience with you, ladies and gentlemen, that does become your trademark. And yes, I am opinionated, I am dominating, and I am overbearing, but I am also loyal to a fault. I also believe in allowing people their opinions. I believe in agreeing to disagree. So... that is my trademark, and I hope that everyone that comes in contact with me leaves knowing that I am a better person for having them in my life, and I hope that I have made them a better person for being in their lives. Because
hey,
we all are fighting battles. Yes, my dear.
Hey, can I just add one thing?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Frank Bettinger, you're pretty.
You are so funny.
And with that,
ladies and gentlemen, this is my friend, author Tom Futrell, and I, and Off the Chain, saying good night. Yeah, he contacted me. He wants to come back on the show. Of course, he's coming back on the show. He is so funny.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we'll do a show with me and you and him.
Yes.
Okay.
That'd be great. But,
okay. I'll set it up. If I don't think I've got anything left for this year, I'll go back and look. If not, I'll get y'all on. I think I've got maybe one or two dates in February left, but I'm already rolling into March. But thank you, my dear, for spending an hour with me and letting me abuse you.
Absolutely. I love it.
You're into that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
And
beat up by the monkeys.
I'm telling you. And of course, you know, when we get off of here and the show goes up in archives, I'm going to put it on my page and tag you in it. And then tomorrow, I hope before I leave, I'll get to put up the 5 podcast. And because now the show's heard on podcast.com, Podcast Garden, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube, FM.com, and TuneIn Radio. And there's 4 or 5 other little podcast that it pops up on that I don't even put them on. Somebody else does.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how we've got almost 50,000 listeners.
That is impressive. Man, great.
So by the end of the year, I expect to be close to 100,000.
Wow, man. That is
Wouldn't
awesome.
That be neat? Yeah, I'm impressed. It's all because of y'all.
All those people. Wow.
Yeah, in 70-plus countries.
Oh, man. You know what that means? There's, like, people in Germany and stuff making fun of me right now. That's
Absolutely.
Cool.
Let's see. There's Germany, South Africa. Australia is our biggest listening base on Blog Talk. They're 97% of my listening base. You've got
wow.
Russia, England, Italy, Canada, of course, the U.S., New Zealand, Nigeria, Zimbabwe, Thailand, Japan. That's just part of them. There's places I've
really
never heard
cool.
of before. The Ivory Coast listens to us. Uganda, the Ukraine. That's the ones the Philippines. That's the ones I can think of.
Man, that is something.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're heard all over the world. And all points
Man,
in between.
I'm almost famous.
You are famous, silly boy. That's why you have to pimp yourself. Pimp your ride. Because if you don't pimp your ride, nobody else going to pimp it for you.
I got to learn how to do that better. I really do. I suck at marketing.
Yes, you do.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all these books out, and I'm going, when did he write this shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be 102 years old on your deathbed going, I should have really.
Yeah, I know. I need to, I don't know. My biggest problem, right now, is the fact that I want to write more. I want to get more of my books out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this drawing is taking so many hours out of my day, you know. Plus, still working the full time job on the side.
But you still got to pimp. You still got to pimp the artwork, darling.
This is true.
You want to sell it at some point.
Yeah, you know, and I've learned something. You know, I've always talked about it, and I've always wanted to be a comic book artist, always. But now that I've actually been in the business of it and seen how shady a lot of these companies are,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather just be an artist.
There you go.
Because they artists can do it for themselves. They don't have like a company saying, okay, we'll hire you for 2 months, and the second somebody better comes along, oh, nope, you're out, we're in your contract, this guy's coming in. It's like there's no security.
Doesn't that sound like some publishing houses we know?
Yeah, it's like going through that all over again. It's like, this is not what I want to do.
So be an independent.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Just be an artist. Just like,
yep.
To get back into a fine art. Because, you know, the curator down here, I didn't tell you I had stuff in the art gallery either.
You didn't.
Sorry. Yeah, I had some stuff in the art gallery this year, and the curator talk to me about maybe becoming an art teacher because of the fact that I'm, like, totally colorblind and I'm still painting. She just thinks that's the coolest thing ever, and it's attracting a lot of people to my fine art.
And what's stopping you from doing that?
Comics. The schedule I'm on when I'm trying to get the comic art out there. I'm like, right now I am literally looking in the sky for monkeys.
Oh, my word. It's called balance.
Yeah.
Balance.
Yeah.
You can do this. Balance. Not going to send the monkeys today, but I could send them tomorrow.
Okay, I'll stop looking up then. I mean, but my thing is I still want to be an artist. That's still it. I love writing. I love meeting readers. I just think that part of art is just not for me. You know, I did it. I gave it my shot. And I still love doing, like, the comic portraits and the comic cons. That's still cool. It's working for them publishers. It's too much. They're too shady. They're too much like the publishers that we had to deal with.
So you
and
do
like,
your
I'm
own
not,
thing.
Yeah.
Create your own comic book.
I've been working on that a little bit. I've taken, like, I wrote this zombie story. I was going to send it to a publisher or go indie on it. And I was thinking about it. Then I was, like, reading through it. I was like, you know, this would make a pretty good comic. So I've been kind of doing some storyboarding and stuff on it just to see. Because I think it would be. It's not the typical zombies. It's the voodoo type of zombies. This guy gets hired. Like, people will hire him if they want someone killed. And he'll just send a dead guy to do it.
The guy's already dead.
Yeah.
And I bet I know who would do it for you. I bet Nicholas would publish it for you because I think he's published some comic books before.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I've been wanting to talk to Nick about that.
So what's stopping you? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it's this guy, like, you know, I was telling you, the comic book people.
Screw the comic book people. Was that one of those idiots that was being a smart ass to you the other night?
He was one of them, yeah.
Oh, he needs to go away.
Yeah.
He needs a visit.
He does need a visit. Yeah, he was bragging today, you know, because he gets on, like, the comic art thing and stuff like what I look at to kind of keep up to date on the comics. And he was on there today bragging about some other guy that he told him he was a terrible husband and father because he's not selling his work. He's being a hobbyist with it. It's like, you know, if the dude wants to be a hobbyist and work a normal job, that's his prerogative.
Exactly.
But he was like, oh, I told him he was a terrible father. He was a terrible husband. He's letting those poor family suffer while he could sell those for $500 a piece. And it's like, number one, people around here don't have $500 a piece for shit. You know, I mean, maybe in some areas, but not where he's at.
You know,
yeah,
I told you
going
people,
on and on and on.
I told you some people were going to unfriend me. They did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
That's
did.
That's crazy.
It just shows how small-minded they are. I wish
That's
I could find
ridiculous.
Which ones did, but... No skin off my nose.
Ain't that something?
Well, you know, it's their loss. They're going to miss out on all the fun in my life.
Yeah, they are.
And with that being said, my beautiful friend, go and make beautiful art. Go and teach the class. I'll set you and Frank up and contact Nick and do your thing with the comic book.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I will do that. I know I need to talk to him. Right now, I'm still in the storyboarding.
Well, do it before the end of the week. Do it before the end of the week.
I'll send him something tomorrow. Just to
Sounds
ask
good.
Him, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that would tickle him to death.
Oh, cool. Have you seen my art? I don't know if he's already seen it.
I've seen your art. Oh. It's gorgeous.
Okay. Thanks. Okay.
All right. I'm getting off of here. You're going to go contact Nicholas, and we're going to make this happen. And thank you, my darling, okay. for being on the show. It was fun. It's always
fun.
Thanks
for having me. You're a blast.
Well, and you know I love you with all my heart. That you were just I love for you to be. I love you being successful, and that's all I've ever wanted is for you to feel successful. You are successful, and don't ever forget it.
I'm trying not to.
No. Try goes away. No try. Yeah. Do or do not. There is no try. You are successful because you're doing what you love.
Yes.
And that's all that matters. So with that, I will say bon voyage, bonsoir, arrivederci, hasta luego.
Yeah, I don't know any of that. So I'll just say see you.
Until we meet again.
Yeah, there we go.
And I'll send you a date and Tim Frank a date and say we're going to do a menage a trois.
Sounds awesome.
Oh, that's going to blow some people off. What the hell was she talking about, a menage a trois? Let them worry. Let them think about it. All right, darling. Talk to you later.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.